Epilogue, The Return to Earth, page 717. Then sighing to her touch, the soft-winged sleep rose hovering from his flower-like lids and flew murmurous away. Awake, he found her eyes waiting for his and felt her hands, and saw the earth his home given back to him once more, and her made his again, his passions all. With his arms encircling hold around her locked, a living knot to make possession close, he murmured with hesitating lips her name, and vaguely recollecting, wonder cried, "Whence hast thou brought me captive back, love-chained, to thee and sunlight's walls, O golden beam, and casket of all sweetness, Savitri? Godhead and woman, moonlight of my soul, for surely I have traveled in strange worlds, by thee companioned, a pursuing spirit. Together we have disdained the gates of night. I have turned away from the celestial's joy and heaven's insufficient without thee. Where now has passed that formidable shape which rose against us, the spirit of the void, claiming the world for death and nothingness, denying God and soul? Or was all a dream, or a vision seen in a spiritual sleep, a symbol of the oppositions of time, or a mind-lit beacon of significance, in some stress of darkness lighting on the way, or guiding a swimmer through the straits of death, or finding with the succor of its ray, in a gully mid the crowded streets of chance, the soul that into the world adventure came, a scout and voyager from eternity?" But she replied, "Our parting was the dream. We are together, we live, O Satyavan. Look round thee and behold, glad and unchanged our home, this forest with its thousand cries, and the whisper of the wind among the leaves, and through rifts in emerald scene, the evening sky, God's canopy of blue sheltering our lives, and the birds crying for heart's happiness, winged poets of our solitary reign, our friends on earth where we are king and queen. Only our souls have left death's night behind, changed by a mighty dream's reality, illumined by the light of symbol worlds and the stupendous summit self of things, and stood at Godhead's gates limitless, free." Then, filled with the glory of their happiness, they rose, and with safe clinging fingers locked, hung on each other in a silent look. But he, with a new wonder in his heart, and a new flame of worship in his eyes, "What high change is in thee, O Savitri? Bright ever thou wast, a goddess still and pure, yet dearer to me by thy sweet human parts. Earth gave thee, making thee yet more divine. My adoration mastered, my desire bent down to make it subject, my daring clasped, claiming by body and soul my life's estate, rapture's possession, love's sweet property, a statue of silence in my templed spirit, a yearning godhead and a golden bride. But now thou seemest almost too high and great for mortal worship. Time lies below thy feet, and the whole world seems only a part of thee. Thy presence the hushed heaven I inhabit, and thou look'st on me in the gaze of the stars, yet art the earthly keeper of my soul, my life a whisper of thy dreaming thoughts, my morns a gleaming of thy spirit's wings, and day and night are of thy beauty part."